are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah. What are you gonna do? You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. And I hope it's going to be a good day for you. Hope you can get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, but you need to get it done, and you will. You'll get it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is, and that's why we love and appreciate and respect you for it. But if you don't have to, continue to stay inside. And if you do go out, make sure you wear a mask. Continue to wash your hands. Keep that safe distance. All the things that'll keep you safe and keep you here. Because there's going to be a big, they're saying there's going to be a big, another jump, another push. Yeah. Especially coming out after the Labor Day weekend. Man, I tell you. And also, too, because schools are back in. I don't think they're going to have a college football season. In fact, I'm going to talk about that on a program upcoming. Because to me, what it really shows is the selfishness and the greediness of these Caucasians and on these universities. And yet, they're not going to have students, but they still want to play football. Well, those guys who are playing football, aren't they supposed to be student athletes? Yeah, right. But we'll talk about that another time. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives, go to timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, look for podcast, click on that, and then the drop down will be African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., this program. Also on Monday evenings, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad Ahmed, followed by at 8, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then, of course, every first and third Mondays, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesday. On Thursday, after 7 with host Shani B. After 7, from 7 to 9. All times of giving, of course, are Eastern times. And Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right. It is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday at 4 p.m. from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council with host Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, time for an awakening from 7 until Time for an Awakening, with, once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned business from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Great products that are produced by us. And go online. They have a wealth of stuff. Believe me, you will not be disappointed. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba will be my guest today. And so I'm going to save all this great information that he has. But I will say this to you. Go online to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And everything that you need to take a trip of a lifetime, going to the motherland, is right there for you. All the information, forms, registration, visas, and so forth. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Believe me, it's worth it, especially the YouTube. Some good videos. Good videos. Renoka Rashidi. Dr. Renoka Rashidi has a trip upcoming, January 21st through February 4th of 2021, going to Uganda and Rwanda. About $4,200 is the trip, I believe, still maybe more, I'm not sure. Contact him and find out. But you can give Brother a call. You can give Renoka a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Brother Renoka Rashidi. And he also has a trip coming up latter part, well, summertime, August 1st through August 14th, going to Kemet. It's an annual tour going to Kemet. Habashah, Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, please go to Habashahincorporated.org and check out what the brothers and sisters are doing. Mama Marimba sent me a nice piece showing what they're doing in Ghana. A lot of the buildings are up, building the Kashi Village in Ghana. I mean, just as they said it was going to be, it's beautiful. It really is. Go to HabashahIncorporated.org and check it out for yourself. And, of course, they still need support. They still need donations. You know, if you can give something, please do. If you can, please do. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. She has a large selections of books, postcards, greeting cards, gifts, T-shirts, and so forth. If she doesn't have the book that you want, believe me, she'll get it for you. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Gazimde Ajamu. He also now has a coffee bar. I mean, he's really doing some great things with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Because remember, brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. And the same thing applies if you are looking for a book, and give him a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. And check him out. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. Number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. They also have We Buy Black products. We Buy Black used to have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall right in front of the Medu Bookstore. But they no longer have that there, and now they have their products being sold at Wadada's. They got the laundry detergent, the toothpaste, the toothbrushes, rather, the razors, all kind of good stuff, and a lot of good health food stuff there. So check out Wadada's. They also have the Afroletics, the Africa quality apparel with the Zulus, Dogon Starseed, the Omex. Man, this is just great stuff. The Heterus, you know. So check them out. They also have the red, black, and green shoes. They also have them at the Black Dot, the NASGAS shoes, red, black, and green shoes, selling them there as well. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. They will have their tomorrow night's broadcast, their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That is 9 o'clock tomorrow from 9 to 10. If you want to go by phone, you can just dial 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. If you want to listen, that's perfectly all right. If you want to talk, press 1 and they'll put you at the top of the list so you can get your questions, comments, or concerns as it relates to Us Lifting Us. ULU. Sanjay Dash Aidi, my good sister, Gabby Aurelia, I sent off a donation for her and what she is doing. She definitely deserves to be supported, working in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Beautiful children there with their school uniforms on. They deal with education for the children, the overall health of the people in the area and the children, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, and so forth. Definitely deserve to be supported. That is Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti are doing a good job, an outstanding job of educating our young warriors. They deserve to be supported. Akaban Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you can use PayPal and Cash App, dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your donations to Akaban Institute. Also to tomorrow night, brothers and sisters, it's the, for the men, the sounding of the war horn, the African Warrior Men's Day celebration. Presentation by Baba Baruti tomorrow night, September 10th, from 7 to 10. Donation is $10 for men and $5 for young men. And these are for the young men. And there's a Warriors Day also around the same time for Sister Yah. Warriors Day for the sisters. Same day, tomorrow night. And the 4th Annual African Men's Celebration Sounding the War Horn. You're invited to the Sounding of the War Horn, a powerful lecture and celebration of African brotherhood, followed by live question and answer with Baba Baruti from 7 to 9. Donation is $10. What you want to do is send the money to Cash App, the Cash App, dollar sign Yah Baruti, Yah M. Baruti, and make sure you put the information down. It's the Warrior Men's Program. Make sure that you have the information, your information, can be because your email address, because that's where they're going to send the link to your email address. Make sure that's happening. I got to get mines in. Yeah. I got to get mines in because it's going to be a beautiful program. It's going to be a beautiful program. Also, too, there's couple of other programs coming up. Kibuka is coming up in November, November 21st. You know, it's going to be another virtual program. And don't know when we're going to have large gatherings of our people. Probably will not be the rest of this year. But Kibuka, remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors, is always dynamic and it's always heartfelt. So check out tomorrow, the Warriors Men Day, as well as the Sisters Sister Warriors Day. And if you want to give them a call at 404-753-7237. That's 404-753-7237. And it's all going down tomorrow. That's right. The Warriors sounding the war horn, you know. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. September 8th. The real servant of the people must live among them, think with them, feel for them, and die for them. Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Arrogance is a quality found in those who believe that they are naturally superior to others. In the mind of the arrogant, they have no equal. There may be individuals who can better them when they happen to not be at their best. But their paranoia and egotism led them to feel that they have no true rivals. Arrogance is an attitude taken by individuals and people who rise as a result of belittling and destroying others and define the effect of that lessening and negation of those others as the greatest evidence of their superiority. It is a bully mentality. Arrogance is the highest offensive vice. So, not being arrogant should be an integral part of the character of the African warrior. Humility, expressed first toward one's own people and then to others as they earn it, is the warrior's way. However, recognize that this is not traditional African society, and the tenets of that time and place do not unqualifyingly apply within this cultural context. The measure of the quality of an African's character cannot be how altruistically one treats a stranger, but how well one treats those among his or her own people who deserve their heightened level of respect. In this anti-African, highly disrespectful, predatory prey cultural context, humility for strangers must come only as they earn it. Affirm, I am a real servant of the people. Affirm, I am a real servant of the people. September 9th. The best way to boycott is to build your own. Chuck D. Stop teaching our children about what Europeans did to us. They are still doing it to us. Either lesson is insufficient without the other. It is only when our children have a complete understanding from first contact to date that they realize what they have to do, like everyone else, not in awe of the Europeans' disingenuousness. No other people beg for inclusion. They build their own and then, from a position of power, demand whatever it is that they want from the collective global pot. Even if what gains are sought are won, boycotting without having our own is only a temporary solution because we have not altered the relationship of power. We have not changed who has the power to decide what can and cannot do or have. Where is the threat in a disunited front? Why would others fear a momentary financial loss from those dependent on them for all their goods? All they need to do is adjust the prices after the dispute is over to recoup the losses. How does it hurt a family of merchandise dealers if one son is given an economic advantage because another is no longer patronized? The benefits still accrue to that family. Successfully boycotting others does not give us power. It only gives us access to what someone else owns. Boycotting is only an exercise of power when it incites those in rebellion to build even better for themselves what they have been denied and to keep it completely under their control. Affirm, I am building our own. Affirm, I am building our own. the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, I appreciate reading the Enye Sesem these last couple of days. A lot of great quotes, and of course, Baba Baruch's narratives. A lot of great wisdom, great information. Because, once again, this program is not about trying to find a way where we can access the system and be a part of the system and, you know, whine and cry about all the disingenuousness of Europeans and, you know, what is that term? False equivalence. Or complaining that, why don't they talk about us? You know, getting mad, crying, you know, made me feel. I could tell you, like I said, you know, when I saw those brothers and some sisters in the last few weeks, particularly the athletes, you know, getting emotional and so forth. And I'm like, you know, and of course, they played them a lot. Like the brother from the Mets, the New York Mets, the baseball team. I mean, because he was crying. I mean, of course, they played Doc Rivers. You know, all we do is we try to love America, but America never loves us back. You know, I think that what needs to happen is you need to look at history. And when you look at the history, you need to look at it from an African perspective. You need to look at it through African eyes. You need to look at it through the pain and suffering of our ancestors. You need to look at it through the constant taking away of things that we have done and that should not even be going back over again. I mean, when you looked at the crowd from August 28th, 1963, and you looked at the crowd from August 28th, 2020, and it was the same. The only difference in the message, well, that was for jobs and equality and so forth. This one was, about get your foot off my neck of all the brothers and sisters that have been killed by the police. We've always had a problem with the police departments. That's always going to be an issue. I see where the brother in Rochester and his command staff resigned because he told the mayor some months ago, back when it happened, that it was an overdose. You know, he didn't, I guess, divulge the full story, and I guess that, you know, who had a question on it, you know, and maybe even the relatives. Yeah, they're mad, they're sad, you know, they want to find out what happened, you know. And of course, they're not given the whole story, but then fortunately it came out, and now you see what's happening. Of course, they're going to sue, and the family will get something. But, you know, brothers and sisters, this is not our struggle to be a part of. This is not our struggle to beg these people. This is not our struggle. Our struggle is to be independent. Our struggle is to be self-determining. Our struggle is to be liberated. Our struggle is to be sovereign. When I was watching that program the same day, that 28th, that they had the march, I watch a lot of the march. Like I said, most of the people who were at the march were talking about, you know, the injustice that their family has experienced because of police violence. And then there was a Black National Convention And most of the people talking on the Black National Convention, of course, were voting and access to America, this, that. And, you know, and some even talked about liberation. But I was wondering, they're talking, I mean, do you understand what liberation means? If you're saying something about liberation, that means that you're not begging them for anything. You are establishing your own. You're going to be liberated, you know? And so it was interesting to me that, you know, that they had these programs on, and still, we are still in that mode. We still believe that our suffering can be redemptive, and that the people who we're appealing to, you know, will understand our suffering, and they will feel and will do all the things necessary to end what they have done to cause our suffering. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've given up on the idea of appealing to Caucasians a long time ago. I've embraced the idea that we as African people must come together, throw off the shackles of the inability that we cannot come together, we cannot unify. I've for a long time that I've been in this kind of mode of thinking. That's why even sometimes working with organizations on a local level, haven't done it so much here in Atlanta, you know, but I do thank the quote conscious community, the African-centered community here, for their well wishes and prayers and so forth. And I really appreciate it. But I know I was involved in a number of things while I was in Milwaukee in terms of, you know, early on back in the 80s, I was involved in the NAACP, you know, and other organizations, Black Firefighters organizations, other community organizations. But I began to understand and realize that all that we do, all that we hope and pray and wish can never be materialized in a society that has deemed us as inhuman, that has deemed us as a permanent underclass, that has always manipulated, undermined, and scrutinized us as people. So, now, I'm going to take a couple of calls. I got a call. I'm going to take this. 404-453-453. Good morning.
Hey, Ocho, how you doing? You hear me?
Hey, how you doing, Wes? How are you today?
Hey, I'm still learning, man. Hey, look here, brother. I sent you something, man. I sent you some important information, my brother.
Okay.
Okay. And it's entitled, let's see, it's entitled American Indian True Historic Descriptive and Never Been Seen Photographs and Images. So look at here, man. That's us, man. We was over here, man, before the devil came over here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to look at that, okay? Keep an open mind to what you perceive. But bro, if you watch this here, what I just sent you, man.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and we was called an Americans, man. Americans. Okay, A-M-A-R-U, Americans, K-H-A-N-S. So this is our land, brother. Okay?
I mean, what are you saying that I'm... I mean, you know, I'll say this. I know that we as African people, our origin began in Africa. And really, the only people on the planet originated out of Africa. So given that reality, then all lands are ours. But the fact is that over periods of time and environment, people change. They change to happen. They have to change to adapt to the environments that they find themselves in, you know. And I still believe that Africans sailed here to this hemisphere.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that. But I also believe that Africans, through the migration, crossed over out of Asia into, you know, into the Bering Strait, into what is now, you know, Canada.
That's right.
And Alaska, Canada, and so forth. Yeah, I believe that, you know.
So that's a fact, man. That's documented in his story, our story. That's a fact. So I when that fool talking about make America great again, yeah, it was great before they brought their ass over here, man.
Well,
okay. So that's what that and it's proven, old shit. Just by genetics. I hope you heard a call I showed yesterday about one of them barbers. But it's a proven fact that they numbers dropping, everybody know, and their time is up, man. So the best thing we could do is stop this damn swirl and leave their ass alone. And just by the process of time, they will be eliminated off this planet, man. It's going to be all black again, man.
Well, you know,
okay?
Simple as that. Huh? I can't speak to that, Brother West, but what I can speak to is that I think what is best for African people is that African people go home, that African people on the continent, that African people on the continent and African people in the diaspora begin to bond. And whatever skills that we have, we share. We kick everybody's ass off the continent, get rid of the Chinese, get rid of the Europeans, get rid of the Indians, get rid of the Arabs, and we control our land and we control our resources. If you don't want to go, fine, you stay where you are. But for those who understand that if we are going to be a people in the future and be self-determining and to be sovereign, we have to do this. And the only place that we can do this is on the continent of Africa. We can't do it here. We can't do it in the Caribbean. We can't do it in Europe. We can't do it anywhere else that we are. In fact, Dr. Clark said best, we have no friends. Everywhere we are, we're disrespected. We're dissed. We're relegated to a subservient position. Everywhere we are. And the only place that we can go and regain our dignity and respect, even to the point that those who don't go will begin to see, yeah, I feel good about being an African because I feel we have a homeland. Even though I'm here in California, in Atlanta, wherever the hell I am, I got a nice big house with a huge ass mortgage, but I feel good about being an African. I feel
My point is, just the process of I study physics and the law of genetics. Their time is up, man. They're gonna be eliminated from the whole damn planet.
Well, let me just say this on that, Wes. Let me just say this in terms of their time is up. We are dealing with an evil entity, an evil spirit, a demented mindset. They're not gonna say, "Oh, our time is up here. Y'all can have it back." I'm sorry that for 400, 500, 600 years. You know, what we have done, you know, I know you came and taught us in Europe. I know we came to Africa and we sat at your feet to learn. And I know that we developed our religious system based upon yours. But we dissed yours because we said ours is historic and yours is a fairy tale. I know all of these things, but now I'm sorry. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And they will blow this son of a bitch up before they ever.
Oh, bruh. You give them too much power, bro. They think they could blow it up. But we got this most stuff happening on our side, the truth that would prevent that from happening, man.
And what
Everybody
is that?
Think they can blow it up. This real talk.
Okay.
Every damn evil stuff they're going to try to do, it's going to backfire. going to be a calamity. It's going to be a disaster to them, man. Okay? So whatever they used to be able to do with the evil stuff, it ain't happening no more, man. I'm telling you, bro.
One thing they understand and know that genetically they are inferior genetically, and they are reproducing. They have been experiencing negative population growth for decades. One Caucasian wrote a book about the decline of the West, that the Europeans' numbers are declining. And so, therefore, what is going to be our strategy to maintain power? Obviously, here, because the numbers of Caucasians that came here through immigration and so forth to take this land, they had a numerical majority, particularly when you have decimated the indigenous people here and put them on reservations in isolation. And then what they did to us. And so they said majority rule, but there are other places where they're not the majority and they still rule.
You're right, bro.
They're still controlling South Africa. They're still controlling Namibia. Okay. They're still in control. So I'm saying, I mean, you know, when you say that, Wes, their time is up. When? Tomorrow? Next month? Next year?
All I'm saying, whatever they try to do evil is not going to work no more, man. Okay, simple as that. Just be cool, relax. Don't get yourself all amped up when you get sick like you got the soul, man. I know what happened. You got real sick trying to figure this shit out, man. Sometimes you got to let go. Let the universe handle these devils, man.
I hear you.
Okay, today, I'm telling you, bro, just be cool, relax. Don't get upset. But we need you, man. You one of them souls. You got work to do, bro.
I hear you, brother.
But I'm
going to
leave it like that, man. Just be chill. Watch I just work out, man.
Okay, my brother.
All right, just be cool. Be cool, bro.
All right, Wes.
You finna get paid for show, man. All of us finna come up, man.
All right.
Thanks. Just relax and be cool, man. The best thing we can do is we can get our people to stop this goddamn swirling, man. That's the only way we're prolonging them, man. We laying up with them, making babies. So we can just keep our legs closed, tape around them, and they'll go out. It'll speed up, man. Simple as that. I'm gonna leave it like that.
All right, brother.
For my man, research Jay come in and bust me in the head. But I'm gonna be cool, man. Y'all be cool, relax, enjoy the show, and watch them be eliminated by the face of the earth. That song gonna burn their ass up like a Wizard of Oz. They melting, right? So just relax and be cool. Peace and blessing, man.
All right, thanks a lot, Wes.
Put me on hold, man.
Okay, my brother. Thank you. Peace. Keep listening. I'll put you on hold. 404-461. 404-461. Good morning. 404-461.
Greetings, Brother Oshi. This is Bomani Tayemba. How are you?
You gave it. That was a number I did not recognize. Here's my guest.
This is my Skype line.
Oh, okay. Right on. All right. Listen, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. I would love for our listeners and for our community to know what you have done and what you are doing and all the exciting things that you have coming up in the future. And I'm telling you, just looking at your website, looking at the pictures that are on Facebook and definitely the videos that are on YouTube. If you go to YouTube/ Bomani 2007, you will see a wealth of information. You'll see some of the good videos of his upcoming tours as well. So, I mean, I got to give it to you, Brother Bomani. You're running a first class operation, man. How many people have you taken to Africa over these many years? And when was the first year?
Over the last decade and a half, I've taken over 400 plus people, probably close to the 450, to mainly Ghana. But I've also taken people to other countries, but most of those are from the Ghana years. Been on recent tours to Ethiopia, also Togo and Benin, which is part of our Ghana tour. But now we're looking to expand to Tanzania. But altogether, I've been 9 countries. Tanzania will be country number 10.
Ashe, great. Yeah, I see that. That's coming up November 20th through the 30th. Do you think there'll be that tour might be? I know you have it scheduled. Do you still think it may materialize?
Yes, that tour is fine. What you do is you do, you know, ground research. Mm-hmm. So the main thing that I did was I have a lot of people in Tanzania that traveled to Ghana with me, and they're there in Tanzania because Ghana wasn't open up until, you know, this month.
Okay.
So the issue with the tour schedule for this year, some countries are open and some is not. So I replaced South Africa with Tanzania for November because South Africa, the government itself, Ministry of Tourism, is not being responsible and communicating with people who does business in the country. Okay. And I'm someone that does business in several different African countries. So whatever country is going to open up and going to, you know, be about their business, that's what country I'm going to. And the country that's not, I'm going to remove them from the schedule or move them forward. So move South Africa to November 2021 and move Senegal from this year with the Gambia to April next year.
Right.
And then I regular rotation of Ghana in May and December.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tanzania worked out real good. I look to add it to the schedule in July and then kind of work it back in for November. And then the other country that I'm looking to add, which should be country number 6, and country number 11 of my travel, which would be Rwanda.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, I would look forward to that one, man. I've heard a lot of good things about Rwanda. Mm-hmm. I know that Brother Renoka Rashidi has got one that is going to Uganda and Rwanda. Have you been to Uganda?
No, I've not been to Uganda. I've only been to Ethiopia in that region, mm-hmm. And Kenya in the east part of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But that's definitely a vital connection there because you do have several countries that speak Swahili, and then to those who speak English naturally, they'll be able to communicate, but you can also communicate in your stolen language or you want to communicate in your European language. You're good, and then you want to learn an African language. You're good because right there, you know, it's the Swahili coast, so that's what makes it more attractive. Also,
right.
And when you think of Tanzania, you're thinking about a country like no other country in the world. And you know, it's kind of like how I look at Ghana the same way too. So I try to find these unique countries and blend them with a mix of roots, culture, business, investment, nightlife, shopping, networking, just a lot of social connection and just enjoying from day to night in the country. So Tanzania give you, you know, for those who want to learn more about nature, you know, you have a whole lot of nature set up there from Serengeti to different national parks. Then you also have several cities, so you can enjoy that city life. And you have like 4 main cities, and none of them are the capital. And the capital is actually a smaller city that they're growing. So just these ingenious ideas. And also the government is a straight pro-African and pro-us networking and connecting together to where you actually feel like it was just irresponsible if you let this country stay closed and all this other customers of all these other African countries that does business with this country, you know, they wouldn't be able to deliver their goods and services and, you know, the work that they have done. And then when you're thinking about, you know, the things that I like to talk about, like the tropical beaches of Jamaica, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, you know, places I've been to and acknowledge Turks and Caicos, you know, some of the best beaches in the world. You're able to look at Zanzibar and you scope your way around the northern part of Zanzibar, northeast, northwest, and then you learn that Africa has some of the most incredible beaches also, mm-hmm. but it's not something that most of us will go in this kind of push and explore.
Right.
So we're going to tap into that also. I got us set for 3 wonderful days on Zanzibar Island at an incredible resort, so we'll be able to get into the history, the culture, but also get into water and sports activities and be able to just take the journey to a lifetime to show people there's another side of Africa. So with that journey, it's kind of like all other journeys have their complete journeys. Even the Senegal and the Gambia, which is one of my most anticipated, but you know, because of the COVID-19 drama, that's been pushed back. But all these new itineraries are set up in where you have like 3 wonderful days in paradise on a nice beach resort or somewhere and begin to tap more into that, where we should be able to think, when we think of Africa, you know, we want people to think of enjoying wonderful getaways and just reconnecting to nature. And I feel like Tanzania has all of that. And altogether, Africa has everything that you need. There's nothing that you're deprived of. So we can literally lock ourselves in Africa and stay free.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and Tanzania is beautiful. I mean, they have the whole array of sites with animals. You know, when you're talking about giraffes and elephants and so forth, you know, they have the whole array of that on a tourist piece as well. Has beautiful beaches, beautiful nightlife. It's great. I mean, I think that that's going to be an exciting tour in Tanzania. And of course, been to Ghana many times, and that's always good. I've seen some of your videos of what you guys have done in Ghana, the places you've gone. Been to my good friend, Sister Amakus over in One Africa, and to Brother Jerry Johnson, who has the ancestral wall in the eastern portion of Ghana going towards Togo in Pram. And so now that you're still, I see you still have the Senegal and Gambia trip upcoming in April of next year, you know, for those who want to go to Senegal and Gambia. And then, of course, Ghana again. And then towards the end of next year, you have South Africa. Have you been to, have you personally been, not to taking a tour, to any other countries in Southern Africa, Botswana, Namibia, any of those countries?
No, I have not been to any of those other countries. Only part of Southern Africa I've been to is South Africa.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, having taken almost 500 of our people to Africa in all these many years, and it's well documented. I mean, brothers and sisters, as I say every day on this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on this program, talking about Africa for the Africans, imploring you to go to his website, africafortheafricans.org, to look at what he has done, and suggesting to you to go to facebook.com/Bomani, or go to look at the pictures, but more importantly, even to go to the videos of Africa for the Africans/Bomani 2007 to look at the videos. You have to be impressed. And also, too, my brother, your trips are very economical. You know, I think that you offer, what you offer is, you know, for brothers and sisters to take that trip of a lifetime, as you state, is very economical. You know, you're $3,700 for Tanzania and Ghana, and $3,500 for Senegal and Gambia, and there's nothing over $4,000 per person.
Yeah, you start losing people once you start getting to the 4,000 mark. So you just kind of keep it a certain flow. There's only so much you can do with adjusting the price. So you adjust days and you adjust as much as you can adjust. But most right. Everything is done by me. All the bookings, the reservations, the arrangements, the adjustments, recruiting everyone. So I don't have no middleman. If I need reservations, I'll call the hotels that we have on here and set up a group booking, and I'll call Delta KLM or call whatever airlines that we're dealing with, Ethiopian Airlines or just whatever airlines that's in the sequence of what we're doing, and make reservations and just arrange it, and then communicate with the people in my group. I have everybody on WhatsApp, everybody on email, monthly conference calls, and I have a lot of recorded information from previous calls and interviews. So there's a lot of information that everyone has access to be clear and things like that. And then everything is organized by myself, and they have a direct communication with me the way we have things set up. So all of that cuts out a lot of additional costs. And now you're able to compete at a higher level. And I live outside of, you know, here, outside of Atlanta, where the cost of living is a lot lower than in Atlanta, and definitely a lot lower than New York City. So yeah. You put yourself in a position where you can operate business and operate it in a way where you can, you know, literally just compete and survive and without having to force ridiculous prices on your people because you're not doing your work as far as trying to become competitive. Like, you know, one of the ideal things is arrange flights when flights are not the most expensive and things like that. So those are a lot of strategies I've used the same business since 2006.
Right.
And keep it going, and then make sure that we have a list of all of the incredible things on a tour itinerary. And when you look at the Tanzania tour overview, we're just hitting all of the points from the 3 nights in Arusha to the 2 nights in Dar es Salaam to the 3 nights in Zanzibar Island.
That sounds exciting. It really does. And on the website, everything is right there for you. You put a $400 down payment deposit down, and then he has a payment plan where you pay ever so much, and then till you finally have it paid off, and then you're ready. And everything is right there on the website. You need visa, you need documents, you need what shots you might need or whatever it is. All of that's right there for you looking at that. Because I know when I went to Ghana last year, you were very helpful, and I really want to thank you for that. And I'm definitely will be considering taking a trip, with Africa for the Africans, because I looked at the videos. You've done an outstanding job. We're going to take a break. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about upcoming trips that you have and the impact, particularly from a investment standpoint, because and a repatriation standpoint, because, you know, that's what I promote on this program. I promote us going home. You know, it'd be great if you went to Africa and you looked at it and you seen for yourself the potential and the beauty, and you understand that. You know, there you have a different environment, a more peaceful environment. And for you, particularly those here in the West, you have an opportunity to have land, opportunity to have a place. Also, too, you're talking about also offering a place in Ghana, if that's correct, that we can go.
I repeat that one more time again.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that on the other side. I'm going to take this break, and we'll talk about that on the other side, okay? All right. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We're talking with Brother Bomani Tahemba, Africa for the Africans. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Polícia, ô. Já só uma coisa. Amuna yeye, amuna yeye. Kuma, sama coisa. Tanga, tanga, umbusa, tanga. Ne sama coisa. Nika só.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Soma Kusa, Mango Dibanga, who made his transition early this year, unfortunately, because of COVID, but it's always great to hear that song. Remember, it has a, you know, I mean, that song is old. I mean, that brother's been around for quite a while, and it was sad that he made his transition because of COVID. Damn. But here's our lineup. here at Time for an Awakening Media. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, African Perspectives. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad. And then followed by 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, After 7 with Shani B. from 7 to 9. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council, host Alfonso Watkins. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And we're talking today with Brother Bomani Tayemba, who's with Africa for the Africans, and the many trips that he has taken, taking our people, over 450 of our people over these decade and a half, taking them to the motherland and having them see for themselves. You know, Brother Bomani.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah. What I like about what you're definitely trying to do is you're trying to get our brothers and sisters to see for themselves. Because if you're going to repatriate, if you're going to invest, you need to see for yourself. You need to physically go over and you make it economical for them to do so. You know, you need to go to Ghana. You need to go to Tanzania and Senegal and Gambia, South Africa, you know, and all the other places that you possibly can go to see for yourself. You know, experience it for yourself. I know that I've gone independently. And because I'm a firefighter, I was able to get around in Senegal, able to get around in Ghana. There's only two places I've been. I've been to Kemet. I've been to Kemet, but that was with a tour back about, I think it's about like 12 or 13 years ago. You know, but, you know, for me, as a Pan-Africanist, it is the only solution for us as a people. It is the only solution for us if we are going to be a free, proud, and independent people, is to go home, is to work with the brothers and sisters on the continent, and we bring our gifts, they have their gifts, and we, you know, control the resources, control the land, you know. I mean, because Africa is a place, the continent of Africa could feed the world, let alone itself, but of course the image of Africa. And I know that's a tough fight, isn't it, sometimes to try, because many of our people have this negative image of Africa and they don't want no parts of it. You know, they'd rather go to Europe. You know, they'll rather go to South America, Mexico, you know, than to go to Africa. There are people who have gone to many places and yet have never been to Africa. And that's because of, you know, the stereotypes. That's because that they have, that has been put into their mind that it is impoverished. It's they probably listen to Donald Trump. Don't go there. It's a shithole country, you know. But it's beautiful. And the people, you know, are beautiful. Now, before the break, I was about to talk about the that you were going to help develop a subdivision or something to that effect in Ghana. Still, is that a possibility? I know that they had the Garvey Town, and I know Garvey Town was in existence for about 10 years, but yet nothing was really happening with it.
Yes, perfect. I can definitely fill you in on that. Yes, Garvey Town, been around since 2004. And Garvey Town reminds me of the pro-black conscious black people who have it all thought out in philosophies and just reading books and studying and analyzing and things like that. So we had the same mindset as Garvey Town as far as being sharp with it and about the continuing the vision of Marcus Garvey. The only difference is ourselves was dead serious about doing the business work and the legwork and all the work that needs to be done they were hoping that they were going to find some perfect black people that don't exist in the world to come and build a community for them and just do everything, because they felt like, well, they got the land, and that's just, you know, they, so since you got the land, they felt like that was a lot. And, you know, so, and then another thing too, my base business is tourism, business administration, and things like that. And it's all based on dealing with people and accommodating people, accommodating your investors, your business folks, the people that are helping you build this enterprise together. And then you have to accommodate them. They want to move to Africa with you, and they're joining forces with you and investing their money. So we invest our money with them for 28 plots of land. And our goal was to build what we wanted to build based on what they told us. But then they try to sell things to us, saying that we're only going to build bungalows, and then you can't park at your house. You have to park somewhere else. And a bunch of things that's crazy and not clear. Now, I understand if you're building certain communal enterprise that you may have certain movements where everyone needs to park here, and then you have to walk to your house. All those things have to be laid out and clear 100% before you start taking people money and things like that. And so naturally, all the things that they kept on saying, we just couldn't deal with it, because we're not moving to Africa to just live in whatever someone else tells us we're going to live in. Someone wants a dome house. Someone wants this house, a Ramia Earth home. They should be able to get what they want to, you know, to be able to live the kind of life they want to live in Africa, which is a life of quality, a life of increasing, you know, your quality of life to that next level, not going to Africa to live poor and struggle. So our mindset in that aspect was different. I'm all about business enterprise. I'm a straight up business person. 99.9% of the people that call me, I speak to, is 100% about business. I don't spend my time. We spend too much time wasting. So in their situation, I just basically told the group that this is another disappointing situation with a group of black people who claim to have land and claim to want to build a community, no different from Fianca. And no different from a lot of the perpetrators out there talking about they're going to build communities in Ghana. Only thing I tell people, humble yourself. There's no need for, you know, none of us have all of this figured out. You know, let's work together as a people and figure it out. But you have to take care of your folks and take care of people. And you can't just dictate to them like you're a dictator and just give them what you feel like they deserve. So I'm one of them people, like, I don't put up with nobody's garbage, no white person, no black person, nobody's garbage. I'm smart, intelligent, and the people I roll with, we're some of the best of our people that want to actually go to Africa and make a difference, and with a lot of experience. So I just basically told them that I'm the one that has nice connections in Ghana. Let me reach out to my brothers in Ghana, and we'll find a good chief that's about their business and add a lawyer in to where he can do all the paperwork. And I've reached out to my brother. That's, you know, he's been my tour guide since 07, and we've built a good relationship. And the people who I vouch for are the people who don't mess money up and don't make reasons and excuses. So I connected with them to work certain things out to where we can get our own 15 acres of land, like 2 miles from the beach. So put us in a better situation where we're by the beach and we're in a nice area where we can expand. And so the main thing is that once we went to Ghana in December last year, we were able to meet the chief, which is one of the things we weren't able to meet when it came to from Fianca, or it came to Garvey Town. And then we were able to get all of our paperwork structured, land search, land survey, 99-year lease, MOU, and things of that nature. And with Garvey Town, we weren't able to get access to those things. And then we were given a cost for the land, and we spent about 6 months paying it off, 15 acres. It was a lot of money. So anyone that comes with us, they get a financial report showing the land payments, showing payments going to the lawyer, consultant, going to create the company, Black Star Pan-African Community. When we've been completely transparent.
What is it called? What is it called again?
Our community is called Black Star Pan-African Community.
Okay, I'll say. Good. The Black Star.
Outside Winneba in a popular area called Jahadzi, which we're going to make that area famous. So that's one of those real situations. So once we paid Garvey Town, instead of doing what they need to do to get us our land, they gave the chief the money because they were owed the chief money. So you have the money that we paid for our 15 acres is less than what they had to pay for their 300 acres, mm-hmm. and we paid ours off in 6 months. And years and years go by where they owe back money to the chief. I don't believe in that. I don't believe. You do things, you do business like that. No one is going to respect you. I'm not going to respect you. You know, you handle your business, take it, you know, if we can turn around and pay white people money and pay them for all these bills and stuff, we can turn around and respect our chiefs and people that we're doing business with and say, hey, I'm going to deal with you on a professional level. When I say that, when we agree we're going to send payments, we get payments sent. So that's the difference between us. We have executed on 100% in the lines of business, organization. The things that Marcus Garvey is more about, not just the talking part, which they have, them and a lot of other black organizations have picked up. So that's my reach out to the rest of us, the people. If you're not going to do the work and you're not going to put 100% into it, don't open your mouth. Don't say nothing. Just stay in the corner and just lay low, because all you're going to do is embarrass yourself. And when you reach out to real business people like myself, that's about their business, and then you try to come half-assed, I'm going to shut you down. So right now, Garvey Town is dead. 16 years of failure. Hashtag Garvey Town is dead. That's all over online. And it's a situation where once we give them the money, you have to have a refund and cancellation policy. And the same thing, every tourism investment I do, so regardless of the agreement or disagreement we have, if you say you have to move forward, the agreement is in place of what you get and what money you lose. I've been writing that policy since 2006, 2007, when I started doing this business serious. And they don't have those policies. And what they did was give us a receipt that they'll give 100% refund if we weren't happy with the situation. And we voiced that situation and explained it to them, gave them a chance to have four back-to-back conference calls to talk to the rest of my group. And they could not get into an agreement to accommodate us for what we needed. They kept on saying they just wanted us to conform to certain things. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those situations now where we're in a great place now. We're building this community up. Things are getting done. Like right while we're in lockdown on COVID, there was no excuses. My lawyer was handling all of his legal stuff. My consultant was making sure the land is clear and taking care of all the legwork and dealing with the builders. And the chief was making sure that we had everything laid out, and the surveyor was doing all of our paperwork. And that's how you get a group of black people to work together. We sit down, we talk, we agree on things, and then we legally sign off on everything, and things like that. And I'm also dealing with legal professionals. So I'm at the point now where if you're not a professional person in what we're doing, don't waste my time. I have nothing to say to you. Go build your skill and organize yourself, because what you're going to do is destroy an energy that we're building, and you become that weak link. And then that's how we as a people just lose. So if we all bring our A game to the table about repatriation, African nation building, this thing is easy and it will get done. The only complex part about it is people making life complicated. I understand we live in a technology advancement way, and people say, yeah, you have the advantage because that's your business. Yes, I'm a technical administrator, and I've studied all aspects of information technology to use it for us to build what we need to build. So if you don't have that on your team, you're going to have to figure that out. That's not something for me to figure out. So, but I've always offered my skills and help to Garvey Town and Sianka and brought busloads of people to them. And they're just failures. And we just have to accept the situation that some of us are just talkers and we're not going to produce. So people should never get involved with any organization that can't show you the history of what they've been working on, documents, payments. You look on our website, you see sitemap, you see, overview, you see the future of what we're doing, you see the history of us meeting, going to the land, and so on. Everything is there via video, via photos, and via also this text document on the website. I'm excited about it. I'm one of the people that are serious. So my only goal in life is to meet more serious people. So right now we have a group of 65 of us.
Oh, beautiful. 65.
And
beautiful.
We're going to double that to 130. And then we'll be able to finish what we just started working on, which is 50 acres. 15 is paid for. And then we just got the 50 acres. And we have a one-year deal to pay that off. It's a lot of money, but it's what it is. The work has to get done. So I have to go out there and find more people that are open to filling out the application for the community, do the background check, people that are okay to understand that we have a long list of rules and regulation, and this is a righteous operation, and you can't come and do none of the crazy stuff that they do here. So we have a bunch of things it's just basically for the African family only, the straight black African family, and with no integration and none of the other foolishness that you have to live around in America, because they're telling you it's a free country and you can't discriminate. This community is 100% about discriminating against even other black people, because we need to have the right people in the community in order for us to put our money together, get the respect we need to get from other people and make the things happen, and without any reason or excuses.
Brother, listen, I'm just over here smiling from ear to ear. I love what you're saying. I love what you're saying. And I feel your passion. I feel your commitment. And I understand it. Is Fiancra still around? Are they still around? I remember.
Oh, yes. They're still around. The 20-plus years of failure in Garveytown is still around. 16 years of failure. But both of them are dead. No one. You'd have to be the dumbest person to even waste your time doing business with them. Because if someone is saying that they've been around for 20 years and this is what they've accomplished, nothing. And then you have countless amount of people that have talked about how Fiancra ripped them off.
Yeah.
If people call me because they see my name attached in certain things. And I was like, no, I was like, I bring tour groups there, like try to help them develop it.
Well, you
and
know, bring, you know, I bring, you know, in Fiancra, when I was in Ghana back in the 90s, Fiancra was there. And there was a group of brothers and sisters that that Fiancra gave them land. And it was supposedly, you know, usable land. It wasn't, you know, they gave them land, there were water and so forth, with the stipulation that you have to develop this land within a certain amount of time. And then there was one sister who got the land, and it was a dispute. And unfortunately, she was killed. She was murdered. You know, because the person who felt that that was their land, and then she won the dispute legally, but then she was killed. And that just stuck with me, and it was saddened, you know. But also, too, what saddened me was, you know, finally finding Garveytown, you know, and then seeing that there was really nothing there, you know.
16 years of nothing. Although there's one thing there, they have two things there. They have the most raggedy school that I've ever seen in my life, and I've been to some terrible places in the entire world. And they have, and the owner house is an example of why you don't want him and his crew to build your house.
Yeah, I must agree, brother. That, I must
You have to live by example, just like I'm talking about repatriation and Pan-Africanism, the two strongest core, what we talk about in this business, Africa for Africans. And that's a life that I live. Wake up every day and it's dedicated to making sure we do business with black people, making sure we talk and have time to talk to any of us. I tell people there's no consultation charge. Just call me, talk to me if you need a visa, if you need help with anything. Just communicate, because we have to learn to communicate and not just everything be about it. In order for you to talk to me, since I have 20 years of experience in Africa, you need to pay me $500 for the first hour, then $1,000 for the next 2 hours. I mean, that's the mindset of what people have. And I was like, I understand all of us want to get paid. I want to get paid, but there's certain things you do some aspects of your operation for free, and then you do some aspect of your operation with a charge. Like, for people want to come on a tour, you're paying for a tour. You want to come do investments with us, you're paying for it. But as far as information, I believe information should be free.
Right.
Education should be free. But that's just my personal belief. So
I agree.
I content on a regular basis, create documentation. And for those who have been going to Ghana for a while and they looked up any of the sites in the country, whether it's Nkrumah Memorial Park or whether it's Cape Coast, the Holocaust Dungeons, or Elmina, Holocaust Dungeons, or Asin Manso, Du Bois Center, I got tons of videos on those subjects. And these are good videos because they're full lectures of the tour guide. They're also interactions and interviews. And it tells you about the site. You see what's going on and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that in order for us to get more people into Africa, we need to produce some good documentation. It can't all be about something that every time somebody watch commercials are popping up in your face and things like that. So one thing about what I have on YouTube, you click on a South Africa playlist, you have 100 videos with us all over South Africa.
Right.
And it's no commercial. It's straight recorded in 4K. I made sure that I have good quality Sony 4K HD equipment as far as camera and a designated camcorder, and just, you know, go to work. And then, we have made our money in tourism. We made our money in investments. As far as this documentation, let's just do it as a people, because I see people do tours, and they claim that they're marketing for business. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to go on your tour. I'm trying to see your itinerary. I'm trying to see your information, but you're not having any information. Mm-hmm. And then you're getting on YouTube, and you're making videos. and it's a video with you in your living room. I need to see the country that you're talking about. I need to see the people that you have on there. So then they call and say, how can you get 30 people to go to Africa and we can't get one or two people? And I say, hey, it's work ethic. It's you putting that work out. I was like, there's no, you know, this is not, you know, this is a situation where no one's going to feel bad for you. You either get up every day and compete, or you just be at the mercy of the people that are going to dominate. And I feel like tourism is a great business for me and my family, and I'm trying to get more of my family into that real estate management and also real estate development, because this does not make no sense why we have all this land in Africa and we have these wonderful chiefs that have, like, have apologized for slavery. And I mean, even though I feel like it's not only them should apologize, we should apologize, all of us should apologize for what all of our ancestors were involved in, and this, and then condemn the nations of people who perpetrated and took advantage of us as a people. And then let's move forward and let's look out for each other and work together. So fact that chiefs are given land is a great move. Now, when they give us the land, we got to step the game up.
Right.
We have a whole 50 million plus or minus people here in America where we can find 1% of that entire population to put money together to develop all of this land to where we should be moving on to another country, because we have done so much in Ghana already, but that's not even the case. But even so, I'm telling people that I'm still moving on to build that foundation in Tanzania and also in the Gambia. Those are the three countries, you know, Ghana, Tanzania, and the Gambia, where I feel it gives us a combination of flexibility, especially since all of them have coast or beach access.
Right.
We really transform it into a paradise. You know, I talked about like Negril, Jamaica, Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Turks and Caicos, some of the best beaches in the world. And that's what we have. We can build those resorts that are owned by us, build those villas and things like that. And so now you're looking at a Jamaica of Africa where it's not a bunch of white people coming to your resort and we're serving them like we're their slaves.
Right.
Even though it's business, we're able to actually entertain African family, because you're trying to let African family know that we as a people need to take our family to one, these wonderful places. But sometimes when you look at the bill, you're like, wow, that's not happening. So, you know, if we build these wonderful areas where our people can enjoy tourism, enjoy working at factories, enjoy investment and manufacturing, we have literally changed the scope of the continent, because the new oppressors that we have to look out for is the Chinese and the Indians, our most deadly and dangerous enemies, because they were once controlled by the British Empire and they learned from the worst of the people. And now that they see that they have a chance to outdo the white folks, they're looking to be our next oppressors. And I'm like, well, black folks in the diaspora, it's our calling.
That's right.
Because those of us are from like the Caribbean and from, you know, we've seen what the Chinese and the Indians have done to our different countries. You go to Jamaica, the Indians are, they have the best shops of crafts and they don't create no crafts. It's our, you know, and our folks have the shops that are outside of the district, so they're not making that money in tourism. Then you look at the Chinese as far as investment, as far as hotels, bridges, and infrastructure, they're dominating that. So now, you know, now instead of having a construction crew or engineering crew full of black folks, you have a combination of Chinese and one or two black folks where they probably get the lowest position. So we're literally just playing ourselves by just letting these people do these things to us by not organizing ourselves stronger and mobilizing to the highest level of efficiency.
Because, you know,
so Africans is all about.
Yeah. You know, I was in the northern region. I was in Tamale, you know, and the Chinese have built a road from Tamale to Moli Park. And they upgraded Moli Park. But what they did even deeper, though, Brother Bomani, is they built a resort that you can see higher on a hill, you know, for them and theirs. You know, I went to the resort that I've been to a time before, you know, in Moli Park. In fact, that's where the baboons and so forth come in the morning, knocking on your door and jumping on the roofs and so forth. And in fact, they'll get in your cabin and take your stuff. But my point is, they will, man. but my point is that the Chinese plan to bring over 300 million people into Africa. They plan to bring over 300 million people because they have over a billion people and they don't have a lot of resources. They don't have a lot of good land, but Africa does. And so some of the projects, as you know, that they have done, and when some countries can't pay for them, they seize those projects. And now they're there. And so also, too, you mentioned Winneba. I've been to Winneba. You know, Winneba is halfway in between Accra, which is Ghana's capital, and Elmina, or Cape Coast Dungeon area, where Sister right. One Africa is. And Winneba, I stayed at a resort. It was old, you know. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I've been to Winneba, and our community is 2 miles away from Winneba.
Okay, yeah. Then you've seen it. It was a resort there, and I always said that would be a beautiful thing to somebody to invest in that, and upscale it, you know. And that when people come to Ghana, you promote that, you know. You have some buses that you go pick those people up in Accra, from the airport in Accra. And then bring them, and then that would be their place. And if, because they from that particular point, you have easy access to Kumasi, easy access to the dungeon. You can always go back to Accra and other parts. But you know, that was my vision. I talked about it, but of course, but yeah, I know Winneba is right there on the ocean. It's beautiful. And what was interesting at the time I was there is that they had found oil off the shore, and also too. Japanese were fishing with commercial fishing ships that you could see on the horizon. That they were fishing because the Japanese had outfished all their waters off the islands of Japan, and so everything was done on those fishing vessels. They would get the fish, clean them, package them, freeze them, and so forth. Some of them they would give back to the Ghanaians, and of course, the majority of them they would send back to Japan. You know, I'm not sure what kind of agreement between the Japanese and the Ghanaian government to allow that to happen, but it was just strange to me because I was at One Africa when Nana Kofu was still living, and I was saying, like, I see those lights out there. I said, what are those lights out there? He said, yeah. He said, those are fishing vessels. I said, are they Ghanaian? He said, no, they're Japanese. You know, that the Japanese have been allowed to, or some kind of contract, to fish in those waters and send back the majority of the product back to Japan and give some back here to the Ghanaians. And to me, you know, I love for us, just like as I'm hearing you say, to control what is ours. You know, to control that land, to control those resources. I'm loving what you're saying, brother, and I'm hoping that people are listening. And in fact, what I like to do is have you back on again to really talk about this and just try to get a real, because this is what our people need to understand, and this is what our people need to do. We have an opportunity to go home. We have been fed the belief that, you know, they don't like y'all over there. And we don't like them either. You know, all this old kind of BS to constantly keep us divided, you know. And so the reality is there are many of us who understand that we need each other.
If we're all we got to, is.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying all we got is us.
That's right.
And that's talking about they don't like us. Well, what about the they that are here in America? The Democratic and the Republican Party pulling you from left to right, confusing you, saying that I'm a better slave master than that other one over there, even though both of them are good friends. I mean, it's just ridiculous the kind of games that they play. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about our own people don't like us. Some of our own people may, or maybe a very small percentage, say certain ignorant things like that. But people have to put many things in context and things like that. If we come to Africa with a raggedy mindset of how some of us operate in some of these neighborhoods that we live in across America, I wouldn't want you to come to Africa either. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's just right. Based on the country. But I've got a number of love. And the reason why I spent 13 straight years doing tourism in Ghana from 2006 December to 2019 December is because I'm always welcome back. I'm always told that we love what you're doing. Keep coming back and things like that. That makes a difference when people actually want you in their country and welcome you. And it's more than just people may say, well, you have a business, so people want you to bring business. Well, no matter how much business you bring to the country, if you disrespect people and treat people bad, people are not going to want you there.
That's right.
Look at how, look at the Chinese and the Indians. They've ruined their welcome across the entire planet. Like, people are beginning to not like them because they feel like they come to the country and do environmental garbage. They take advantage of people's women and disrespect the culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but as you can see, like, lots of documentation, many people from East Africa, because East Africa is still, East Africa and Southern Africa is still with these people. And you're seeing, you know, these things. So it's things that are documented, but it's like letting our folks know that literally, you know, we're at a point where it's up to us to decide what we're going to do. If we're going to fall victim or mercy to these people, or we're going to do what we need to do.
Well, we got some callers, my brother, and I'm really excited about what you are doing, and we'll talk after this because I definitely want to be a part of it. 404-453. Good afternoon.
Hey, Ozzy, man, that's a good deal. I like with my man rolling, man. I'm gonna try to get in touch with him and see what I can do, man. A good show, man. Right on, my brother. Keep on doing what you're doing, man. I like that.
All right, I'll give you his information, brother Wes. Okay,
it's at, all right.
But all you gotta do, jump on the line, jump on your computer, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and what the hell? Hello, can you hear me? Hello. Hello, can you hear me? What the hell?
And continue those movements. Sometimes things are not done with it. You know, they're done in generations.
All right. I apologize.
All right.
Thank you.
Yuhuru.
So we're back again. I don't see my board, but we're back again. I was trying to get also to Jay, if you can hear me, unmute yourself if you have a question for Brother Bomani Tahimba, Africa for the Africans. Brother Jay, are you there? Like I said, I can't see my board, but something just happened. That's the messed up thing about the technology. Sometimes it doesn't work the way you really want it to. But I'm glad that that the people are hearing. Like I said, Brother Omani, all based upon what we've talked about, I really would like to have you come back again. And I'm trying, and I would desperately get people on the program who would be interested in terms of what you're talking about. Because we need to expose our brothers and sisters to these opportunities, not just to go visit somewhere as a tourist, but to go somewhere now that you have an opportunity not only to invest, but truly to live and live independently and live in an environment that is more conducive to you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That opportunity can be there, you know. And so I'm hoping that people take advantage of the opportunity. First, I think in order to truly understand what we're talking about, plan a trip to go to Ghana, to Tanzania. I really would like to go to Tanzania. That trip is sounding really good. I know it's pretty soon, considering it's November, you know. But I know that you'll go there again. Like I said, that's one of the places that you want to do some building, correct?
Yes, absolutely. We say building and expanding, and we're taking it from Ghana to other countries. Mm-hmm. You know, so since the foundation is built, I spent many years working on these things, and people ask me why I've moved to Africa, because you know sometimes it's not a situation where you just go to one African country and you just move in and it's like you struck gold. You know, you need to survey things and put some work into things and analyze things and work on the best outcome for you as far as you know, your movements.
Yeah.
So Ghana is a great foundation to start with. And it represents one of the best countries in Africa with a whole bunch of different things that's relevant to us as stolen Africans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a starting point, you know, a point of departure, as they say. But it's also, too, the first country to gain its independence from Europe, from Europeans. And Kwame Nkrumah understood it best. That's why he was saying it's not just about Ghana, it's about Africa. He was talking about Pan-Africanism.
Like, that's it.
You know, yeah, that is what must happen. Like I said, the motto for this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That is our motto here. That's what we talk about. That's our slogan: Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die.
You can that's simple. That is that simple. You know, one of my favorite things about Dr. Clark, you know, bury the man and continue the plan.
Yeah,
that was issues that I have with these Garveytown folks. They had a death in one of the family members in Jamaica, and for 6 months none of us heard anything from them. You know what I mean? And it's like, yo, I understand the situation, and as a military person, it's what it is. You take care of what you need to take. If you need a month to grieve or certain things, handle it, but you gotta move forward and get back on the game plan.
Right.
Last I remember, you know, everyone is gonna die sooner or later, and so it shouldn't be that, you know, that alarming, you know, and things like that. And people literally take it too far. It's like, come on, family, let's focus on the future. We have lots of our children here that are young and they are living, they're breathing, they have energy, and we should, you know, it's like, you know, shouldn't we focus on them also? But, you know, I'm just not an emotional person, but, you know, I do understand people have to go through certain things, but we definitely got to keep it moving forward. Bury the man and continue the plan.
Well, no doubt. I mean, I'm somebody who would feel solemn and feel remorseful and feel hurt. But I also, too, know that, you know, time marches on, you know, and what to me is most paramount is the development of Africa for African people. You know, I mean, you know, we're going to do that for that moment. But what's most important is getting back to that work. Getting back to making that happen, you know. What you're talking about, Brother Bomani, does not happen because people hope it happens, wish that it happens, pray that it happens. It happens because you make it happen. You physically put the energy in, the time, the money, whatever resources to make it happen. And so, you know, I'm definitely will be talking with you because I want to support it. I want to invest in it. I want to go because that has been my desire to repatriate. In fact, it might be sooner because if Donald Trump wins again, I know I'm gone. I couldn't know because the way he has emboldened these Caucasians and the mindset that they have. Oh, and he gets another chance. He gets another 4 years. Oh, it's going to be sickening. It is
going to be. Man, so people like myself is chanting four more years. But regardless of whichever one of these devils win, for me personally, it's a no-win situation for Black folks because
right.
We have done put all of our time and investment in two white devils
right.
That are equally the same, and maybe you have some variation, but it's like
same thing.
We've literally invested our future on basically which white master is going to rule America.
it is. You're right.
So it's like after Barack Obama did his whole thing and you know basically just left us asleep, you know, Trump came in and woke folks up that and it was like a new America. Welcome to the new America. Welcome to let's make America great again. So I'm like, hey, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Let's make Africa great again.
That's right.
Because it's like, you know, you're going to make your country great. So am I going to be here making your country great when I have my whole continent that I need to make great? So that's what I'm telling people is like, follow the flow of what people like Trump are saying. They're trying to do what they need to do for their country. They're trying to say, we're going to bring back jobs. We're going to do this. I'm like, that's what we should be doing, making sure that these other folks, the Europeans, the Indians, and the Chinese, they're not coming and creating things and then oppressing us. So it's like, we can learn a lot from these other people that's in empowering and things like that. And I'm just looking forward to the November 8, 9, or whatever the date is, when that stuff is over, so I can tell people, okay, now I'm hoping that you're happy with your result. Now can we get back to moving forward and working on this movement of a people to reconnect and to build the future of Africa as we need it, so we can all fit in there. If the Chinese people are talking about bringing 300 million people, and that's it, and we're the black people in the diaspora, well, not from in America, it's maybe about 50 million or more or less. Like I said, I don't know these numbers because other people give us those numbers. And then you add the rest of us from Brazil all the way up.
Yeah.
We know that population is still less than what these folks are talking about doing. So it's like they're talking about basically taking advantage of all of our opportunities as stolen Africans. What they're talking about is our birthright.
That's right.
You know, I'm offended by a lot of these things that these Chinese and Indians talk about doing. Mm-hmm. We already know what white folks are up to. You know, it's like their game has been played out to where they just do the same thing over and over, mm-hmm. divide and conquer, mm-hmm. divide and conquer, divide and conquer, and fund the opposite group to just cause chaos. So we can, you know, tackle that. But when these people talk about, because white folks don't have their population, they can't say they're going to build 300 million strong from anywhere. And, you know, because their people have been dying out at a consistent rate, not fast enough for me, because if two white people are still living, it's two devils that can still control everything, because that's in their mindset. So we have to look at us being that population from the diaspora on the continent, you know,
right.
100 million strong. You can divide it amongst many countries. And that wouldn't hurt the continent.
No.
The Chinese 300 million of their people, game is over.
You know, they're talking about population control. One of the British, I don't know if it was Harry or what the other one's name is, he talked about controlling Africa's population. Africa needs to control its population, because pretty soon there'll be too many Africans and there won't be no land for all the beautiful exotic animals and so forth. You know, which is BS. Here, I'm going to take this call. I'm going to take this call from 447. 447, good afternoon. Good evening.
Good afternoon, Brother Ochi. How are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing well. On the line, Brother Paul. Brother Paul is from the UK. This on the line with us, Brother Paul, is my guest, Brother Bomani Tahemba, Africa for the Africans, talking about repatriation and investment on the African continent. Brother Paul Bomani is in the UK. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Is this Paul?
Yeah, good afternoon. I didn't hear all the conversation from the beginning, but I picked it up late. But did your guest, is it investment? Is he talking about Ghana?
Yes.
Okay. Did I hear him say that he went to Garvey Town?
Yes, I went to Garvey Town. I was also someone that brought Garvey Town 28 people. And dropped them $20,000 for 28 plots and market a lot of their stuff. But since they couldn't deliver, we moved forward and we put our money together and we started a Black Star Pan-African community, and we started legally paying for our land and legally doing every single legal aspect for land, land acquisition, land management, and land development.
That's good. That's great. That's absolutely great. But let me just put it this way, Brother Ochi. One of the things I've been trying to push, and I've always said this, and to me this is the manifestation of what I've been trying to say. I've been trying to show people here, because in this country, UK, it's good when people try and talk on our behalf, and they've never been here and they don't really know who we are. But let me tell you who we are, because I'm born here. There are a lot of people from West Africa here, many from Ghana, many from Nigeria, many from Jamaica, many from Trinidad, many from St. Lucia. These are the ex-colonies of the British. They live here. They are born here. And I've always said that we should use these technologies to reach out and not allow people to talk on our behalf, because they don't often get it right, because they don't really know who we are. But unfortunately, with our people, we don't really want to reach out. We don't really want to talk to each other. And I've always had this thing in the back of my mind that all those who talk about going back to Africa, I always think, I have this fear in the back of my mind that they're not really talking to each other, but yet they want to go and live together. And I don't see how that's going to work, personally. Because if the left hand and the right hand don't know what it's doing, there's going to be problems. And most times where we live in our own lands, there's problems right there. We don't really get on. We say we do, but we don't. Don't matter where we are. If we go to Jamaica, my people from Jamaica, I've been there many times. We get on, but we things that we need to get on with, we don't really get on with. My point is this, yeah? I really enjoy hearing from your guest there, because he's manifested something for me. In that we do need to reach out and talk to each other. And sometimes when things don't work, we've got to try and make them work. Because if they don't work, at the end of the day, we're going to bring the same problems we're living with, right? The same confrontations we find in where we're living with, we're going to take to Africa. And I know that in my heart. Because we're not really talking to each other the way we should be talking to each other and getting on with each other. And let me just leave you with this. When we talk on these airwaves, yeah, they go internationally. And it's funny because I heard about this brother before I even phoned. I heard about him on the radio. Yeah, I did, on this end. So I'm just saying, be wise that when we talk on these platforms, that these messages are going all around the world and they're setting up people for failure. I'll just leave it there.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Brother Paul. And I'm glad you got a chance to hear Brother Bomani Tahemba and his organization, Africa for the Africans, and what they're doing. This is a very serious moment in the lives of African people when we talk about all the things that we are up against. And I'm hoping that we as African people can begin to put aside all petty differences, all the ignorance, all the superstition, all the myths, all that BS, and come together as one Africa to control the land and the resources and our people for the betterment of our future. To me, it is the only way. I only got a couple of minutes, Brother Bomani. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm familiar with Paul Ifeyomi. One of my connections started with LIB Radio, my brother Kidi Awadu,
yes,
aka the Christ Pastor. One of my best brothers, man. So when I heard the voice, I was like, I know who that was. But I always appreciate his input and everything. And yes, we definitely have to be careful what we say around the airwaves.
Yeah.
And at the same time, to also tell him, black people, when we do anything with each other, let's respect each other to the highest level. Because if you're gonna rob me and you're gonna try to destroy what I'm building, and I retaliate, you know, it's not gonna end well. But at the same time, too, it's like people, like I'm one of the people you can't just do anything to and expect, you know, you're gonna hear about it. You're gonna find it online, because I'm also letting the rest of my brothers know that these people are not good people. But at the same time, too, it's up to us to step our game up. Because it's like a lot of us feel like if they rob us or do bad things to us, that we're just going to be okay and be quiet. I'm one of the people, I will take you to court, and I'll also do a lot more than that. Because
you'll do what needs to be done, right?
and moving forward, but we have got to be willing to show a little more respect to our people. You know what I'm saying? Like even one year, I've had a group of people with me, and some of them I knew a little longer than others, and they were working for me as far as my tour crew. I fired every single last one of them because of ungratefulness and things like that. And it's like,
wow,
I have to get up in the morning, regardless of whatever I decide to do at night, and then I have a business to run, and then you guys are there getting paid and getting accommodated. And we do simple thing in tourism. It's about accommodations, taking care of our group and our guests, taking them out, making sure movements of bags and things like that. And after a while, when you just get to the point where you just get tired of this repeating yourself and things like that. Like I had two guys, they were twins, and I would tell both of them to show up. One would show up and one would disappear after something else. And it's like, I'm going to know you both are twins. If I don't see two, it's an issue. And there's a bunch of things that I'm not even going to even totally get into. But I like to make examples of people and things like that. And if people ask me if it was white people working for me, I would fight them twice as fast. But I want us to be the best. And in order to do that, you make examples of people. So when other people do business with you, they know that you're about business. So I always tell anybody, look at my track record as far as tourism and bringing all the people to Africa. Go look online and try to find bad comments. Try to find people saying Bomani robbed them, ripped them off, and did that. You're not good luck. You're not going to find anything like that. And it's not because I'm bullying people, threatening people that they do that. It's because I take care of people and I look out for people and I work with us.
Right.
So that's why I have a lot of respect. I'm going to make a comparison, and I'm not trying to like say anything bad about this person. Like Umar Johnson, I love Umar Johnson. I'm like a fan of him because we talk on the same parallels and stuff. But look at the output.
Yeah.
There's like 20 people with channels just dogging Umar Johnson.
Yeah.
Picking it out to be the worst person. Do I think he's the worst person? No. But I don't have nobody making videos of me. But then again, every time I've ever taken accountability of receiving money from anyone, the public or private, I've always shown what I've done with the money. You paid for a tour, you got your tour. You paid for land, you got your land. You paid for consultation or any kind of representation, you have that. And then if you call me and ask me for a report, ask me the information, I'm going to say, here's the report, here's the work, here's the recording, and so on. So we have to also do what it takes as a people to make our people respect us. If we don't, we can't be mad at them for putting all over the internet garbage town and 16 years of failure.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to talk on both aspects of that and let people also see why where I'm coming from, because people are not going to always agree with those things. But at the same time, too, I might also just let you destroy me, rob me, treat me bad and everything like that, and then let you do the same thing to the rest of my brothers. No. So I condemn Garveytown and I condemn Fiancra to unorganized professional operation. And I expect people that do these organizations now to for us to be on a higher level of skill.
Well,
And development. So right now, the current groups of people that are building community, I'm all in contact with most of them. And then we all communicate every once in a while. And I try to share information and look out for each other. So so I'm also showing that we're also trying to do the right thing and saying, hey, let's make sure that we don't get into bad blood and things like that. But if anyone robbed my brothers and sisters, I'm coming for you.
Right on. Well, listen, man, I really appreciate it, Brother Mamani. I'll be talking with you soon. Thank you once again for being on the program to enlighten our people, to talk about the possibilities, the great possibilities of investment and repatriation, as well as an opportunity of a lifetime, as you say, to go visit an African country and to just immerse yourself in the beauty of the people and the land and the culture and so forth. So thank you. Thank you, my brother. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, thank you for listening. Be on the program Friday when we talk about 9/11, the inside job that is 9/11 and the deaths. But Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.